Hey, turn with me to the book of 2 Timothy chapter 2, and my text is in verses 19 through 21, but I want to back up just a couple of verses for laying the context and the introduction to the message, and if you'll stand with me in reverence to the reading of God's Word, we'll read beginning in verse 15. It says, "Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth, but shun profane and vain babblings, for they will increase unto more ungodliness, and their word will eat as doth a canker, of whom is Hymenaeus and Philetus, who concerning the truth have erred, saying that the resurrection is past already, and overthrow the faith of some. Nevertheless, the foundation of God standeth sure, having this seal, the Lord knoweth them that are his, and let every one that nameth the name of Christ depart from iniquity. But in a great house there are not only vessels of gold and of silver, but also of wood and of earth, and some to honor, and some to dishonor. If a man therefore purge himself from these, he shall be a vessel unto honor, sanctified and meet for the master's use, and prepared unto every good work." If we'll go to the Lord in prayer. Father, thank you for today and for your goodness to us. And thank you, Lord, for your house, your church, the New Testament institution that your son started. And I just thank you for the word of God that you've given to us that can be a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path. I pray now that you'll help me to deliver the word of God to these people and that you'll minister to their hearts. I just pray that you'll be glorified in it and that you'll use it in their lives. And I pray and I ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. 2 Timothy chapter 2. And this passage here, if I was going to title my message, I'd title my message this: God's Golden Vessels. And if we place the context in the time that Timothy and Paul were living in, it's about 65 to 66 AD, and Nero is the Roman emperor, and persecution is set upon Christianity in a fierce and an intense way. And the Apostle Paul is writing from the Mamertine dungeon. And he's on his way to, he's going to be dying soon. He knows it. And he's writing to Timothy, his son, his preacher, that he had trained and taught in the ministry. He's writing to him to do two things. He wants to encourage him and strengthen him in the ministry, and he wants to invite him to come to him. But the primary thing with through the book of 2 Timothy is you'll see that he's encouraging him. He's completing some things that he wanted to in Timothy's life, and you'll see that the reason that I backed up a little bit was to read these verses. There were some people that had been just saying some wrong things. They were denying truth. They were denying Bible truth, and it says their word will eat as doth a canker, of whom is Hymenaeus and Philetus. There was a couple of people that had been talking and disdaining the resurrection of Christ, and that it had already passed, the return of Christ had already passed, and they overthrew the faith of some. And that can be a discouragement when you see people that are getting on the way, and then something comes along and something happens and it throws them off the way. And that can be a discouragement. But the Apostle Paul is writing to Timothy. He said, this is going to happen. This can happen. It does happen. But God is on his throne. God is sovereign. And God sees these things, Timothy. It's like he's putting his arm around him and saying, hold your head up. Keep on. Here's some truth that I want you to take hold of. And this is where God's golden vessels are going to begin to shine through. There's three things that I want to bring out today in this passage from verses 19 through 21. We're going to talk about some assurances that stabilize, that will help a Christian to stand firm in difficult times and to just have a stronger sense of security in who you are in Christ. If you're a born-again, saved believer, it'll help you to take hold of the word of truth and make it more personable to you, and have a stronger love for Jesus Christ. And then we'll talk about the assessment of vessels. And this is really how God looks at it. He talks about, verse 20, he talks about gold and silver and wood and earth. And when we assess the vessels, it's talking about things that pertain to the house of God. And we're a vessel that God will use. But when we look down and we see these, God uses inanimate objects, because he doesn't want us looking around at others to make judgments, But he wants us to look at different types of vessels. And that's how he wants to measure ourselves by. And there's qualities in these vessels that we're going to look at. And then the third thing is that we're going to look at is we'll talk about the assimilation of truth. And so there's three things: assurances that stabilize, the assessment of vessels, and the assimilation of truth. In verse 19 it says, "Nevertheless, the foundation of God standeth sure, having this seal." There's a basis for us to have a good assurance. There's a foundation that God has given us, and it stands sure. Regardless of which way the winds blow, the foundation of God stands sure. The trials of life cannot shake the foundation of God. And there's a reason for that. It's based upon the Word of God. Isaiah chapter 40 and verse 8 says, "The grass withereth and the flower fadeth, but the word of our God shall stand forever." The word of our God shall stand forever. Psalm 119 verse 89 says, "Forever, O Lord, thy word is settled in heaven." And so this is an assurance to us. Though everything around us falls, the word of God that you have in your hands stands sure. You can trust this word, you can believe in this word, and you can count upon the promises that God has made, because they are based upon God Himself. And His promise is true. God cannot lie. And so these things should give us great assurance if we're trusting in Him and our salvation is in Him. 1 Peter chapter 1 verse 23 says, "Being born again, not of corruptible, but of incorruptible, by the word of God." Let's go ahead and turn there, and we'll read a couple more verses that go along with this. But we're born again by the word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. 1 Peter chapter 1, that was verse 23. And let's just read on a little bit. "Being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. For all flesh is as grass, and all the glory of man as the flower of grass. The grass withereth, and the flower thereof falleth away, but the word of the Lord endureth forever, and this is the word by which the gospel is preached unto you." If the word of God were to fail, then the gospel that's preached would have no basis. So we have a basis for our assurance in what God has done, regardless of, and it is disheartening when people fall away and people are turned away. 1 Peter chapter 2 verse 6 says, "Wherefore also it is contained in the scripture, behold, I lay in Sion a chief cornerstone, elect, precious, and he that believeth on him shall not be confounded." The foundation is in Jesus Christ. There's the written Word of God, and there's the living Word of God. And Jesus Christ is that living Word of God. That's the foundation for our faith. He's also the foundation of the church. Jesus said in Matthew chapter 16, verse 18, He said, "And upon this rock," speaking of Himself, "I build my church." So He's the foundation of our salvation. He's the foundation of the New Testament church. But primarily this foundation is talking about that foundation of salvation in this verse, and it's sure, having this seal. And when God puts a seal on you, it's like a signet ring. When you go to the notary public and they press their stamp into the paper, it's an impression into the paper that you cannot get rid of. And I mean, you really got to. And even then, there's going to be some evidence that was pressed in there. And that's the type of seal that is being talked about when He says, "Having this seal." The foundation of God is sure, having this seal. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 13 says this, "In whom ye also trusted, after that ye heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also, after that ye believed, ye were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise." There's a sure seal in the foundation of God. And that's what that is. It's that Holy Spirit of promise that takes up residence in you. When you get born again, the Holy Spirit takes up residence within you. And you know something's different in you when you get saved. When you call upon God. When I struggled with assurance of salvation for a time because I was trying to drag a ball and chain of sin through my Christian life called cigarettes, smoking. It took me a while to get past that and get the victory and walk in the victory. But once I did, God took me back, and I prayed, and God took me back to when I got saved, and He refreshed my memory of what happened in my heart that day when I called upon Him. And it's that's because I was sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise. The Holy Spirit took up residence in me, and I was born anew that day. Ephesians chapter 4 verse 30 says, "And grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby ye are sealed unto the day of redemption." This should give us great assurance of what God has done. It's tremendous truth that God has given us. 2 Corinthians 5:5 says, "Who also hath given unto us the earnest of the Spirit." But not only is there a basis for our assurance, there's benefits of it. The next part of the verse, the Apostle Paul goes on, he says, "The Lord knoweth them that are His." You know, even when I doubted and I struggled, the Lord knew me. And He knew where I was at. He knew what was happening. He knew where my heart was at. He knew the struggles of insecurity that I had. He knew what I was going through. The Lord knoweth them that are His. You can get away from God in your own heart and your own mind, but you really haven't gotten away from Him. Because whither shall I flee from the presence of Thy Spirit, says the Word of God. In John chapter 5, verse 39 says, "And this is the Father's will, which hath sent me, that of all which He hath given me, I should lose nothing, but should raise it up again at the last day." Jesus Christ isn't going to lose you. If you've been saved, He's not going to lose you. No matter what you do, you can't lose your salvation. You can't give it back. You can't fall away from grace and lose your salvation. That is a lie. And it's not true. Jesus says in John chapter 10, verse 14, said, "I am the good shepherd and know my sheep and am known of mine." And then in John 10, 27, He says, "My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me." Jesus knows His sheep. He knows who He saved. He knows who He pressed down. He knows where the Spirit of God dwells, and He knows His children. And you cannot be born into a family and then be unborn out of that family. It's not possible. And that's why God uses language in the Bible that He does. It's language that we understand, that we'll take hold of. It'll be on the level of whatever our understanding is. The Bible will speak to us and tell us these things. If there is a struggle of assurance, and there are times, you know, a lot of times when that fellowship with God is broken, it has to do with sin in our life. When we've allowed it in, that's where the conflict of assurance comes in. Otherwise, if we're walking in fellowship with Him, if we walk in the light as He is in the light, we have fellowship with Him. But if we walk in darkness, He's not walking with us there. Because He's light, and in Him there is no darkness. But if that assurance is broken, it's because of the sin, whatever it is that we've done to step away from Him. And that's by our choice. That's by an exercise of our will or our flesh that we have done, by decisions that we've made. That assurance is broken. And Isaiah chapter 59, verse 2 speaks of, "Your sins and iniquities have separated you from Him." That's not an exact quote, but it talks about sins and iniquities separating us from God. And that will have a negative impact upon assurance of salvation. And so the Apostle Paul says this. He says, actually, I need to get back to my text. The Apostle Paul says that, "Let him that nameth the name of Christ depart from iniquity. And let everyone that nameth the name of Christ depart from iniquity." There's a basis for our assurance, and there's a benefits to it. But there's also a bias. When that Holy Spirit begins to work within us, our inclination should be this, that we should be attempting to depart from iniquity. Let everyone that nameth the name of Christ. If the foundation of God is sure and He puts His stamp upon us and He makes His impression in our lives and He does these things for us and He gives us the Word of God as a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path. The Word of God is true, and we should have, if the Holy Spirit lives within us, He wants us to walk in holiness, and righteousness. He wants us to live above the world and walk closely with Him. God desires fellowship. He gives us the Holy Spirit for these things. He's given us the things that we need to live a godly Christian life. And He's given us these for His glory and our good. When we obey the principles of God's Word, good things happen in our lives. We grow spiritually. We may still have trials, but we'll go through those trials walking by faith and not by sight when we stay in close fellowship with Him and we guard our hearts and we keep those things out. We protect that assurance that God has, the assurances and these things that God has given us. And we feed those things with good things. Being in church, singing gospel songs, reading your Bible daily, praying, spending time in prayer daily, and spending time in the Bible, reading it daily. That's how you're going to have that assurance strengthened. Your fellowship with God is going to grow closer. And you'll be a better Christian as a result. I've been talking to my kids lately about one of the things that I pray on a regular basis. God, help me to be a good Christian. Because I have a flesh, I have a sinful nature that militates against that. And so as it talks about, let everyone that nameth the name of Christ depart from iniquity, I have the indwelling Holy Spirit, but I also have an old sinful nature. Okay? And I came from a varied background of sin. And so I opened more cans of worms than you can find at a bait shop. All right? And so I need a little more grace, and God gives it to me. But God is good, and God helps us. He gives us everything that we need. These things should assure us and strengthen us in our salvation. And God is good. The second thing is, as we continue to move on, he says, but in a great house there are not only vessels of gold and of silver, but also of wood and of earth, and some to honor and some to dishonor. He's giving us a view how He sees things in His house. And there's an assessment of vessels. There's gold. The location of these vessels is in God's house. That's a pretty important thing to note. There's Christians out there that are not members in the New Testament churches. They're still God's children, but they've not aligned themselves with a New Testament church. And 1 Timothy chapter 3 verse 15 says, that thou mayest know how to behave thyself in the house of God, which is the church of the living God, the pillar and ground of the truth. The New Testament church is the house of God. Maumee Valley Bible Baptist Church is a New Testament, Bible-believing, fundamental, independent Baptist church. It is a New Testament institution that God has ordained. Okay? And just because a person may be saved, but if they're not baptized into the New Testament church, they're not a member in that New Testament independent church. Okay? There is a difference. And so the first verse we looked at talks about the salvation. Okay? And now the second verse talks about in a great house. And it's talking about God's house. It's not talking about my house. It's not talking about your house. It's talking about God's house. And it's a great house. And there's vessels of gold and silver, and wood and earth, and some to honor and some to dishonor. There's two different, he basically gives us four types, two kinds, and he classifies them in two different stages. Okay? The four types are the gold and the silver, and then there's the wood and the earth. And if you think about it, there's gold and silver. Those two are a valuable kind. They're a collectible kind. People like gold and silver. They'll go a long way to get gold and silver. And gold and silver vessels have a value. Psalm 119 verse 72 says, the law of thy mouth is better unto me than thousands of gold and silver. Gold has a precious value, especially today. The value of gold is like way up. But let's talk about some of the characteristics of gold. It has a beauty. It has a softness to it. Did you know that gold is, you can shape it into many different, almost anything that you want to shape it into. You can overlay, like if you go back to the Old Testament in the temple and the tabernacle, the vessels were overlaid with gold. And that's because gold is so pliable and so workable, and you can pound gold so thin, it takes 367,000 leaps, as they call them, to make an inch high stack. That is amazing. absolutely amazing. And they did that prior to modern technology. Let's just throw that in. But gold has a nice color. A lot of people are drawn. I'm a painter. A lot of people like gold. It makes rooms have a warm feeling because it's nice. It's a comfortable feeling. Let's apply these things to our spiritual life. You know, if you have a sense of gold about you, you're pliable in the hands of God. Okay? If the Holy Spirit's working in you, you're gonna radiate what God is doing in you. God's gonna work through you to show to a lost and dying world, to be a witness for Him. Okay? That's the Word of God working in you. And that's how a person attains and strives after being a gold vessel, is allowing the Word of God to work in you. The Word of God is the principles that have an effect in our life. When you have gold, gold has a resistance to chemicals. As a Christian, do you have resistance to the things of the world when they come along? I work out in the world every day. There's times where it's an assault on my eyeballs, and it begins to war on my soul. And the devil begins to try to work on my flesh. But it's the principles of separation and how, as a Christian, I ought to conduct myself that keep me strong. That I draw on those principles, and that's God working in me. Now, you may not always be able to see it on the outside, because I might get a little flustered sometimes because I'm human, but God is working in these situations. Silver has characteristics that we can take some understanding from. It's not as soft as gold, but it's not as hard as copper either. Copper is a harder metal, but silver is the best conductor of all metals. And as a conductor, aren't we as a vessel to be a conductor for the Holy Spirit to work through us? How much God wants us to be a vessel that the Holy Spirit can work through. The Word of God is pure silver, as silver tried in the furnace of earth. And that Word of God works in us, and the Holy Spirit will work through the Word of God and in us and through us, so that we can be the vessel that God wants us to be. There's gold and silver vessels. These are the kind that they're the kind that are trying to take the Word of God and put it in their hearts. Thy Word have I hid in my heart, that I might not sin against Thee. That's what the psalmist said. And wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? Taking heed according to Thy Word. That's where a young man can find direction to keep him from the paths of sin. And that's the Word of God working in us. Revelation chapter 3 in the Laodicean church, and it talks about a people that is just far off from the Word of God. They're Christians, they're in churches, but they've pushed God out of the picture. And one of the things that he tells them, he says, buy of me gold tried in the fire. And I believe what God is telling them is to get back to the Word of God. Get back to the Word of God in your heart and in your lives, and be Christians. But they had pushed Jesus Christ out of the church. Now, God gives a special promise to that church of Laodicea. It says, to them that overcome will I grant with me to sit in my throne. Those people that overcome in the Laodicean age, which I believe is the day and age we live in. I mean, the worldliness, the materialism, and the religious complacency that people have, it's like a threefold cord that's a stronghold on people's lives in our day and age. And it has a hold on people, and it's permeating, and it's making its way into churches. And churches are pushing God out the door. They're bringing their programs and their preferences in, and Jesus Christ is on the outside. But for those that overcome in this day and age, He grants a special promise. They'll be given a place of authority with Him in His throne. And I believe that's going to be during the millennial reign that takes place. Wisdom is applied knowledge, and that's applying the Word of God. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, and when we take that knowledge and apply it, that's wisdom. Wisdom is more valuable than gold. That's what the Proverbs talks about in Proverbs chapter 8. Let's go back and let's just take a look back in the Old Testament. Let's go to Exodus chapter 25, and let's look at the Ark of the Covenant. Let's just take a quick look at this. And does anybody have a watch? I have no idea what time it is. Okay, and how long do we preach? Just go? Okay. Just go. Okay. I want to be respectful of your time, God's time, my time, and do what He wants me to do. And I don't have a watch. You know, that's a preacher without a watch. Wow. Okay, back in the Old Testament, let's take a look at the ark. And the ark is a type of Christ. Okay? And the ark is a vessel that God has. When the Apostle Paul wrote to Timothy, and he starts speaking of vessels in the house of God, let's think about this for a second. The Apostle Paul was a Jew. He was a Pharisee of all Pharisees. Okay? Timothy was a Jewish. His father was a Greek, but his mother was a Jew. He knew, so when the Apostle Paul wrote to him about these vessels being in a great house, and he talked about these different types, Timothy and the Apostle Paul both, they knew, they were looking back at these vessels that were used back in the Old Testament. And I believe one of the vessels that he was really pointing back to was the Ark of the Covenant, the Ark of the Testimony. That's what it's called. It's called a testimony. Okay? And it's just, what is it? It's a vessel. And let's look back and we'll see in, beginning in verse 10, it says, "And they shall make an ark of shittim wood, 2 cubits and a half shall be the length thereof, and 1.5 cubits the breadth thereof, and 1.5 cubits the height thereof, and thou shalt overlay it with pure gold, within and without shalt thou overlay it, and shalt make upon it a crown of gold round about. And thou shalt cast 4 rings of gold for it, and put them in the 4 corners thereof, and 2 rings shall be in the one side of it, and 2 rings in the other side of it. And thou shalt make staves of shittim wood, and overlay them with gold, and thou shalt put the staves into the rings by the sides of the ark, that the ark may be borne with them." And the Ark of the Testimony was placed underneath the mercy seat. But as we look at the Ark of the Testimony, it was a wooden vessel. Shittim wood was a very common wood. It represents the humanity of Jesus. The gold on the inside is the Holy Spirit. And the gold on the outside represents the deity of God. Okay? We as Christian vessels ought to represent Jesus Christ. And we're to be following after Him and to be like Him. They were called Christians first at Antioch. Why? Because they were like Christ. Okay? So the Holy Spirit's working in us. I'm a common vessel. I'm like that shittim wood. I'm human. Okay? Every one of us has our own humanity. And then when that works in us, it's also overlaid on the outside. God gives us that. When you meet someone and you know there's a sweet spirit about them, that's God. When you meet a Christian, you fly halfway across the country and you meet a Christian and they have a good spirit about them, that's God working. When your spirit bears witness with theirs, that's because that person is a child of the King. And the Spirit of God is working in them and without them. Okay? That's a vessel of testimony for the Lord Jesus Christ. Okay? Now, we have to maintain taking the Word of God into us on a regular basis and asking God to work through us. We have to submit ourselves to Him for Him to use us. If we try to go off on our own, He will not. We'll make a mess out of things. That's where we'll begin to look at the second type of vessel. The first one was the collectible kind. The second type is the carnal kind. Okay, and these are the earth and the wood. Turning back to 2 Timothy, let's take a look at these different types of vessels. There's the gold and the silver, the collectible kind, and there's the wood and the earth. And these, I've called them the carnal kind, because you have two types of Christians. You have spiritual and carnal. And it's not difficult to tell the difference. You know the Christians that have the spiritual qualities. There's things about them. They have humility that characterizes them. They're striving to follow the Word of God. They have a kindness about them. There's that sweet spirit. Now, the carnal kind, this is here where you have these two different types of vessels here. The carnal kind or these that aren't spiritual. There's wood. What are some characteristics of wood? Does anybody here work with wood? Wood is hard. That would indicate stubbornness. It's not very giving. It's not pliable. It's got its own constitution that doesn't want to bend. And it also, the Word of God is likened unto water. You know what wood does with water? Just soaks it up. Wood is stainable. It stain penetrates it. Sometimes you take a little sandpaper and it'll close the pores so that less stain will go in. Some woods you sand it and it opens the pores. I power wash and stain decks. And to get stain out, I have to use some caustic chemicals and a power washer to get that stain out. Those stains are sometimes are the effects of the world on some Christians. And it's evident. The world stains those that are not trying to follow the Word of God. And sometimes it has to do with just the attitude they have about things, the spirit that they might have. That you can be a saved person and not be following wholly after Christ. It's very easy. It's very easy. I've gotten myself into those modes. Sometimes when I'm driving and I don't like the way the other person's driving, I'm subject to getting a bad attitude about that other driver and how they're driving. And just those kind of things. I have a tendency towards pride. I'm human. Pride can get in us. And it can rise up and it can show itself forth and we can start making decisions on our own apart from the Word of God because we think we know better. That's pride. And that's a tough characteristic. This is some of the things, and when we hear the Word of God preached, I was talking to my younger brother recently and he's doing I'm discipling him long distance and he's doing a study and he's like, there's some things there that are tough. That's what he said. And I'm like, you don't agree with it? He said, no. He said, it's not that I don't agree with it. He said, but that's just, they're hard. You know, and sometimes there is truth that may be a little more difficult to accept. And a wooden vessel is going to continue to be stubborn and resistant to the Word of God and the principles of the Word of God. And that's the type of vessel that I was for a lot of years. I portrayed more of those wooden characteristics than anything else because it was stubbornness. Thinking that I could go through my Christian life, try and be effective, but yet I was dragging a ball and chain, not making much progress at all. The only person I fooled was myself, and I hindered myself in my Christian life. Wood soaks up water and it stains. The Bible says the carnal mind is enmity with God. When we find ourselves, when we don't agree with God, who do you think is right, me or God? God. And so we need to learn to stand down and agree with God when those times come along. But how about this earthen vessel? It's a fragile. It's a clay vessel. Sometimes we in our humanity, we can be sensitive. You ever been easily offended? Somebody catches you at the wrong moment with the wrong comment and this can happen to somebody that's been a Christian for a lot of years and has a good measure of spirituality. You can ruffle their feathers, so to speak. It can happen. Why? Because we're human and we're subject to these characteristics. They're going to come out in us. They have that potential. It's rooted in our old nature, in our humanity, to be sensitive to these things. How about a vessel? They fire them, a vase. You know, some of these porcelain vases. Think of that. That's an earthen vessel. You can put a nice paint job on it. You know what it's good for? Sitting on a shelf, looking good. It's about what it's good for. It's not good for a whole lot more. You can put a flower in it. But it's not good for a whole lot more. You take it off the shelf, you risk breaking it. It's going to get hurt. You know? And so, but we can have these sensitive characteristics. Sometimes that painted vessel, how about the day and age we live in right now? We live in a day and age of plastic. Today's day and age is a facade. people put on this and they put on that and they act this way and they act that way. You know, it's all a facade. There's no substance to their character. There's no depth to their morality. When you hear about Christian leaders that are turning from this and turning from that, you know, Christians that are falling into immorality, things of that nature, a painted vessel, it's a facade. We live in a day and age. I work in West County, just outside of St. Louis, and I go into you know, pretty upscale homes. I work in them. I meet the families, and it's tremendous how I see 40, 50 some year old people, women still trying to dress like their teenage daughters and look like them. Men that are still trying to act like teenage boys and still strut around with the testosterone level of a teenage boy. You know, where, you know how guys that are just, they think too highly of themselves, they walk, you know, and they have a strut to them. And I see that on a constant basis. And everybody's trying to, you know, they're having a little nip and tuck here and a plastic surgery there to maintain their youthfulness. I mean, I agree with taking good care of ourselves and having a little exercise. But how about Christians exercising godliness and really striving after holiness and possessing our vessels as God would have us to do? There's some characteristics of these four different types. There's the gold and the silver and the wood and the earth. And if we just think about these things and those characteristics, how do these things show up in us? But then God classifies these vessels. He gives us, you know, he keeps it fairly simple for us. He says, and some to honor and some to dishonor. He makes it really, really simple for us to take hold of. To honor something is to give it value, is to give it esteem, to give it dignity. And people will pay money for honor. People are looking for honor. You know, I appreciate the way that, you know, I hear the respect and the honor that you give to your pastor. That's good, and that's appreciated. And from what I understand, my pastor has a great respect for your pastor, and that's good. And a pastor deserves a respect and honor. And I don't just say that because that's the direction my life is going. I say that because that's what God teaches. The Word of God teaches to respect our pastors and to give honor unto whom honor is due. If a man is leading his household and his family in the ways of God, his house is in order, his children are being raised up and following after Christ, whether he's a pastor or he works in a factory, that man deserves some honor and some dignity for what he's doing, for raising his family as he ought to. And God says these are things of honor, things of value. And so we want to look at the characteristics of those gold and silver vessels and be strengthened in those assurances that God has given us and follow after those things. Because a vessel of dishonor is one of infamy, comparative indignity. It's one of disgrace. How about when we stand before God and we have a measure of disgrace? We don't have to. That does not have to be that way. Okay? And it all has to do with where you're at right now, following after God. If it's not right, get it right. If you're not sure what it is, pray, ask God, ask counsel with your pastor, figure it out. But the Word of God gives us all the answers to get things where we need to be, and God, that's where God wants us to be. Those are vessels of preference, the gold and silver, and those are the ones that are following after the Word of God, allowing God to work through them. Listen to 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 12 through 15. It says, now if any man build upon this foundation, gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, stubble. The foundation, born again. Jesus Christ saved me. That's my foundation. No other foundation can no man lay than that which is already laid. And Jesus Christ is that foundation. Every man's work shall be made manifest, for the day shall declare it, because it shall be revealed by fire, and the fire shall try every man's work of what sort it is. If any man's work abide which he hath built thereupon, he shall receive reward. If any man's work shall be burned, he shall suffer loss, but he himself shall be saved, yet so as by fire. If you have the characteristics of a wood vessel and an earthen vessel, I think those are the works that are being tried right here, and they're burned up. And those are the vessels that are going to stand before God and have shame and disgrace. They're going to be they're saved, but this is a hard passage. Yet so as by fire is what the Apostle Paul says here. I'm going to read a quote from a book that I'm reading. The author is Watchman Nee, and although he's not a Baptist, his books are good books and they teach good spiritual truth. It's a book called The Spiritual Man, and it says, to be fleshly or carnal means to behave like ordinary men. We should ask ourselves whether or not our conduct differs very radically from ordinary men. If many worldly manners cling to your life, then you are doubtless still of the flesh. Let us not argue over our being labeled as either spiritual or carnal. If we are not governed by the Holy Spirit, what profit will the mere designation of spiritual be to us? This is, after all, a matter of life, not of title. That's a powerful, powerful quote. And it just ties right in with the things that we're looking at from the Word of God today. But if we've seen the assurances that can stabilize, and we've seen the assessment of vessels, and that's really a view of how God looks down on His house and His children in His house. And that's how He grades them. Honor or dishonor. Then he goes on in the next verse. It says the assimilation of truth. That's my thought, is the assimilation of this truth into our lives. The Apostle Paul goes on. He says, if a man therefore purge himself from these. The Apostle Paul, I believe, is communicating to Timothy right here. If a man therefore purge himself. One of the things that I've been saying is that we're human. These characteristics of these different vessels can show up in us. And if we see them, we need to purge ourselves from them. God wants us to we need to recognize our present condition in our humanity. And the old nature that we have, the new nature that we have, the battle that we have with the flesh. He wants Timothy to recognize this. Timothy, this is always going to be there. It's always going to be there. Recognize this truth. If a man therefore purge himself, he didn't say you specifically, Timothy. He opened it up to all men. If a man therefore purge himself from these, so there's the present condition. There's a possibility that's available, just for the Christian man to overcome these things. If a man therefore purge himself from these, he shall be a vessel unto honor. If a man purges himself from these, he'll be reclassified. Instead of being a vessel of dishonor, if a man purge himself from these, he'll become a vessel of honor. God says so. He says, he shall be a vessel unto honor, sanctified, set apart, holy, a vessel that God can use. Matthew chapter 16, verses 24 through 25 says this, then said Jesus unto his disciples, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. For whosoever will save his life shall lose it, and whosoever will lose his life for my sake shall find it. If we'll lose our lives, lose our self-wills for his sake, that's where we'll find it. That's that golden vessel or the silver vessel, whichever one, depending upon, and God is the judge of that. But it's taking the Word of God and submitting ourselves to it. And we have that power within us. John chapter 1 verse 12 says, but as many as received Him, to them gave He power to become the sons of God. When you got born again, God gave you the power to become the sons of God. To live as we ought to. It's great truth that we should take hold of. Philippians chapter 3 verse 10 says, that I may know Him and the power of His resurrection. The power of His resurrection is the victory over sin. It's the victory over death. It's the power that works within you that makes it possible for us to purge ourselves from these earth and wood characteristics, those carnal qualities that can show themselves up in any one of us. It's that power that works in us that to give us the ability to overcome these things and walk in victory over, to put those things in subjection to the Spirit. And then we're reclassified. He shall be a vessel unto honor, sanctified. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verses 3 and 4 says, "For this is the will of God, even your sanctification, that ye should abstain from fornication, that every one of you should know how to possess his vessel in sanctification and honor." God wants us to know how to possess our vessel in sanctification and honor. And verse 7 of that same chapter says, "For God hath not called us unto uncleanness, but unto holiness." This is the calling of God on your life, child of God. If you're saved, this is God's preference. This is God's desire, and it's what He's working towards. And if we're sanctified, then that's when God says this, "And meet for the Master's use, and prepared unto every good work." A Christian that is not in this state, that's trying to serve God, has the potential of doing more harm than good. Because they're not a vessel of, if the earth qualities are coming out of them, and not the spiritual qualities, and as God sees things and they're a vessel of dishonor, they have the potential to do more damage by trying to represent Christ than good. They can do more damage. They can do more harm. They can present a tract in an ungodly spirit. You know, and it may not be anything, I mean, that we would, you know, it doesn't have to be mean, but if they're in the flesh and they're just trying, you know, knocking on somebody's door and giving them a tract in the flesh, God's not in that. God's not working through them at that moment. The gospel seed is still being sown, but it's not going to have the effect that it would if they were a vessel unto honor and they were meat for the Master's use. Isn't that what we should all strive to be? Meat for the Master's use? I think our Christianity in our day and age, we need Christians that will take a look at the Word of God and what it says. How about beginning to, as we see our day and age darkening, we should be shining brighter than ever. Brighter than those that are pawning off their worldly Christianity to a darkening world. They're one step behind the world. But if we stay with the Word of God, stand on the Word of God, submit ourselves to the Holy Spirit's leadership in our lives, and we strive to be a vessel unto honor, and the Word of God works through us, we're meat for the Master's use, prepared unto every good work. Philippians chapter 3 says this, says, "For we are the circumcision which worship God in the Spirit and have no confidence in the flesh." That, I don't know if I quoted that exactly right, but there's no confidence in the flesh. To worship God in the Spirit, that word worship also means to serve. To serve God in the Spirit, having no confidence in the flesh. And Ephesians chapter 2 verse 10 says, "For we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them." God wants us to walk in the good works that He's prepared for us to walk in as a vessel of honor, serving Him, submitted to Him, being a vessel that's filled with His Spirit. You know, some of the other vessels in the Old Testament, they had the cups. What does a cup do? A cup is used to serve. Golden cups, golden, you know, different things. They were used to serve. Those were the vessels that God used in the tabernacle and the temple of the Old Testament to serve Him for His glory, for His honor. Turn with me to Isaiah chapter 43 and verse 7, and we'll close with this verse, as I believe it's a good verse to sum up these thoughts that God has shown us in this passage about being having assurances that will stabilize us and looking at things, God assessing things in God's manner and putting these things into practice. God says this in Isaiah chapter 43 and verse 7. He says, "Even everyone that is called by my name, for I have created him for my glory. I have formed him. Yea, I have made him." I have formed him for my glory. It's God's purpose. It's God's desire. And it's for his glory. As we close in prayer, do you have an invitation time? Okay. So we'll close in prayer, and my prayer is that you'll think upon these things, and that God will use these in your hearts and your lives for his good, for his glory. Let's close in prayer.